presents Mark Dalton, owner operator. Book number 2, Reefer Madness and More Tales of the Open Road by Ido Van Belkin. Copyright 2008, Ido Van Belkin. Performed by David Coyne and the Graphic Audio Players. Episode number 1, Thick as Thieves.
Rather than take another load from the Ontario Food Terminal, Mark decided he was in need of a break. In the past few months, he foiled a band of smugglers, was the target of an insurance scam, almost got ripped off for unnecessary repairs to his rig, solved a murder on a movie shoot, helped a friend get money from an unscrupulous shipper, was nearly killed taking over for Bud and working as a dispatcher, had nearly been run off the road by a road-raging fellow trucker, been detained by Canada Customs, and had solved a murder that had been made to look racially motivated. Instead of taking another load on, he decided to take a load off, of both his mind and body. He rented a parking spot at an operation near the airport and took a cab to Pearson International, where he booked himself on the first flight that was headed someplace warm. That warm place turned out to be Bermuda, and when he returned a week later, he felt refreshed and alive, and ready for anything the trucking business could throw at him. Mark called Bud while he was riding in the cab that was taking him from the airport back to Motherlode.
Hey, Dalton. That cell phone of yours has got some range.
I'm back in Toronto, Bud.
Already?
I went away for a week, just long enough to recharge my batteries.
Or deplete your bank account.
I could use a load.
You're out by the airport, right?
Yep, over by the park and fly.
Okay, when you get to your rig, head up to the Bacardi plant, Brampton.
The distillery?
Yeah, they got a load of booze that needs a special kind of driver.
You mean one that won't drink all the profits?
No, Dalton, you got any idea how much a trailer full of booze is worth?
Depends on who you are, I guess.
Dalton, we're talking a cool million or more, and it's no more difficult to steal than a truck full of widgets. So guess which load is high up on a thief's top 10 list.
So basically I'll be driving a filet mignon through a soup kitchen.
Yeah, that's the gist of it.
Well, just wanted to be clear. But why me?
To paraphrase the sign that used to be in the Leafs dressing room in Maple Leaf Gardens, let's just say that theft does not rest lightly on these shoulders.
Mark was pretty sure Bud was giving him some kind of compliment, but he couldn't be 100%.
I'll call you when I got the load.
Me and a whole bunch of other people.
What do you mean?
You'll see.
The shipper at Bacardi was waiting for Mark, and didn't waste any time getting him to hook up his rig to the trailer that was sitting at the loading dock.
Here's your schedule.
The young shipping agent handed Mark a clipboard with a table on it that had times listed on the left at 15-minute intervals, and boxes where he could put a set of initials on the right.
You call the number on the top of the sheet every 15 minutes until you reach the distribution center in Winnipeg.
What if I have to pee?
If you miss a call, we check the global positioning satellite to find out where you are, and then we send the police.
Mark was a bit confused. This sounded like a military operation, not a load shipment.
Are you sure you've got the right guy for this load? I mean, don't I have to, I don't know, be interviewed or write a test or something?
Your dispatcher helped us process all the papers for you. We were expecting you sometime next week, but since you were available today, we thought, why wait?
Mark stopped in his tracks. They were making it sound like he was the only driver out there.
I'm sure there are a lot of guys that could take this load.
The young shipping agent began walking towards the door to the shipping dock.
Don't worry about the cost of the calls. We're paying you a dollar for every call you make.
I'm really glad you chose me.
You got 5 minutes before you head out. Good luck.
Now, why would he say that?
Mark left the distillery at 10 a.m., just moments after confirming the time with the security guard at the gate. He turned right onto Steeles Avenue and was heading west. He planned on getting on the 410 at the off-ramp. As he pulled closer, he saw that there was a two-vehicle accident completely blocking the entrance to the ramp.
Oh, just my luck.
Mark turned Motherlode around. There was another entrance ramp to the 410 about 2 miles down the road. He glanced at his watch. there were a couple of minutes to go before he had to call in. Mark slowed Motherlode to a stop as a traffic light turned red.
Oh, you have got to be kidding.
Suddenly, Mark felt his cab door open up and turned to see a man in a ski mask climbing into his rig. Mark tried to push the man back onto the road. Before Mark could get the first man out of his truck, a second man had jumped into the passenger side door and was pulling Mark out from behind the steering wheel.
Let go of the damn wheel!
It all went down in under 30 seconds. The haze began to clear, and Mark realized that the first man in the mask was driving Motherlode. The second man had a pistol pressed hard against the back of his head. For a brief moment, Mark thought about taking on the two men. Mark doubted the driver would be able to control the rig while he punched and kicked at him, but there was the other man with a gun to consider, especially when the value of the load was more than enough for somebody to kill for. He decided to go along with the hijackers, for now. Besides, even if he did nothing, the global positioning satellite would kick in after he failed to make his scheduled call, and they'd probably be stopped by police before they even got onto the 401.
Turn left here.
In no time, they were heading south on First Gulf Boulevard, the continuation of Rutherford Road south of Steele's.
Here's good.
The driver pulled over, put on his hazard lights, then produced a pair of wire cutters from his jacket pocket. As the other held the gun to Mark's head, the driver exited the cab, and for the next minute, Mark could hear him crawling up onto the cab, most likely disconnecting the GPS transmitter.
Aw, damn.
Now nobody knows where you are.
The driver climbed back into the truck, and moments later, they were moving again. They continued down First Gulf, but before they reached Kennedy Road, the driver made a left onto Biscayne Crescent. They were making another turn when the man with the gun noticed Mark concentrating on the name written on a sign pole to their right.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, well, enjoy this!
The man struck Mark hard in the head with the butt of the pistol. Mark saw sparks behind his eyes for a moment, and then everything went black. Mark slipped into a dream. He was still married and still working as a private investigator. He'd been hired by a Fortune 500 CEO to get the dirt on his wife. The guy wanted a divorce, but knew it would cost him his fortune and then some to see it through. Mark worked the case for a month, then finally caught the woman fooling around with one of her husband's fellow board members. When the CEO saw the tape, he was so pleased to be able to get rid of his wife and business associate on the cheap. He cut Mark a check for $25,000 right there on the spot. Mark's wife's eyes nearly popped out of her head when she saw the check, and they spent a couple of weeks on the beach celebrating Mark's good fortune. Those days had been some of the happiest of Mark's life, especially watching the sun come up on the beach each morning. Mark was almost blinded by the light. He tried opening his eyes, but the light was too intense. He shielded his eyes and squinted to try and see.
Help! Somebody help!
Hey, you okay, pal?
Mark blinked, his eyes slowly beginning to adjust to the light. He looked at the man standing over him, the man who'd asked him the questions.
Where am I?
Let's hear it one more time, from the top.
Mark was exhausted. He told them his story at least a dozen times already, and since he was telling the truth, his story hadn't changed once over all that time.
My dispatcher told me to pick up a load from the Bacardi distillery. The shipper there gave me a schedule to call in every 15 minutes or so. I left the distillery and was going to get on the 410, but there was an accident on the ramp, so I decided to go south on Kennedy and get to the 410 at Derry Road.
There you go with that car accident again.
The detective was an older man, late 40s, early 50s. He'd told Mark his name earlier in the day, but Mark had forgotten it hours ago.
Yeah, and if there wasn't an accident, I would have gotten on the 410 and probably would have been in Winnipeg by now.
See, the problem is, we checked all the patrols from this morning, and no one remembers anything about an accident on the on-ramp.
So you think I made that up?
The detective just stared at him.
There was an accident, I swear it. They must have been in on it.
Who?
The people who had the accident. Maybe they staged the thing so I'd change my route, and the others could grab me before I reached Kennedy Road.
Mark was smiling now, proud of himself for putting that piece of the puzzle into place.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened. And maybe monkeys are gonna start flying out of my ass and singing Hail to the Chiefs. Come on!
The smile suddenly disappeared from Mark's face. The detective decided to change tact.
You got money problems, right?
Mark was caught off guard. He probably should have answered with the all-inclusive,
"Doesn't everybody?"
But the truth was, Mark was doing all right financially, since he hadn't had a lot of expenses apart from the upkeep of Motherlode. So instead of playing it safe...
No. Actually, I'm all right for money.
But trucks are expensive things to keep on the road. A lot of guys would do anything to hold on to their ride.
Yeah, well, I own my rig outright.
This seemed to catch the detective by surprise.
That's quite a feat, a young guy like you.
Not when it's the only thing in the world that's yours.
So, then what's your problem, Dalton? Booze? Drugs? Gambling, maybe?
A smile broke across the detective's face.
Women, right?
Mark was also smiling again, but it was closer to a grimace than an expression of pride.
I'm recently divorced. I've had my fill of women for a while. As for the other stuff, I wouldn't be able to drive if I was addicted to anything, and the only thing I've gambled with in the past few months has been my life.
Yeah, seems there are police departments all across the country who know about you. Hell, even the customs people put in a good word.
Mark was confused. He'd been questioned like a suspect for the last few hours, and now the detective was telling him that police forces, not private individuals, but police forces, were vouching for him. And he was still stuck in this office under interrogation.
Look, if you want to arrest me, then do it. If you want to hold me for a while, then put me in a cell, because I could use the rest. But if you've got nothing on me, I'd appreciate it if you let me be on my way.
Don't you want to catch the guys that did this to you?
Of course I do. And who says I won't?
Somebody told me that about you. You like working on your own.
That's right.
How would you like to work on this with someone else?
Like who?
Like us.
You mean like a sting or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, hell. Okay.
Two days later, Mark had himself another load of Bacardi spirits to deliver. Except this time, there were several key differences in the way he was to deliver the goods. First of all, he wouldn't be traveling to Winnipeg. This load was going from Brampton to the Liquor Control Board of Ontario Distribution Center on Enterprise Road in Malton. It wasn't much of a drive, little more than half an hour. But the last time Mark had been hijacked, it had happened less than a kilometer from the distillery. Secondly, there were only two pallets of empty Bacardi boxes in the back of the trailer Mark would be hauling. Hiding in behind the empty boxes would be six members of the Peel Regional Police Emergency Task Force, fully armed and ready to spring on any unsuspecting hijackers. And finally, rather than placing a call to a specific telephone number every 15 minutes to maintain contact, Mark would be continuously on the phone with the police in unmarked vehicles that would be traveling the route in front and behind him. With all these precautions and safety measures, Mark was sure the risk he was taking was minimal, and that if there were hijackers on the prowl today, the chances of catching them were excellent. Mark and the detectives went over the plan one last time.
Why me?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
Well, everything went so well for the thieves the first time they robbed you. They probably figure you're an easy mark. Your name on a shipping list probably sets off all kinds of bells and whistles. They probably think stealing from you is like taking candy from a baby.
Nothing like bolstering a man's confidence before sending him into the field.
Good luck.
Thanks.
The police all hurried into their vehicles and Mark got behind the wheel of Motherlode. At exactly 10:30 a.m., he called Monahan on the phone and kept the line open while he drove.
Leaving the yard.
Right behind you.
A few minutes later, Mark was turning onto the on-ramp for the southbound lanes of Highway 410.
No accident this time.
Mark headed south on the 410, then picked up the 401 heading east.
See anything suspicious?
Well, there's a couple in front of me who looks to be having a wicked argument.
That's not what I mean.
Sorry, it's just that this ride is so, I don't know, routine.
10 minutes later, he was exiting the 401 at Dixie Road. Mark turned north on Dixie, and the second street on his right was Enterprise Road.
Almost there and not a bad guy in sight.
Yeah, that's just great. Too bad you didn't have a trailer full of booze while you're at it.
Mark backed his trailer up to an empty loading dock. Mark hurried out of his truck and into the receiving area so the guys on the dock wouldn't get any surprises when they opened the back of Mark's trailer.
Here, let me get that.
Suit yourself, pal.
Swarm!
Within seconds of the door opening up, several gun barrels were pointed directly at Mark's skull.
Sorry, boys. Seems we've made it here without a hitch.